My first question is whether deficits usually front-end load like this in the first half of the year.
They do, and the big reason is the tax calendar. You get a lot of payments in June and in September from corporations in particular, which tend to make the second half deficits a little bit smaller.
So do you have – what do you make of the difference? I guess what you're talking about, a run rate of nearly $1.6 trillion now, if they keep going like they are, and it would be only $1.2 trillion if you took the full year estimate. Is that a big difference? I mean, is that something where they're going to have to revise what they're saying, or is it just normal in the course of things?
It's pretty typical. The revisions will come in August. They'll get a chance to look at just how quickly the tax revenues are coming in. They'll know for sure what refunds went out in April, a big source of deficits early in the year. And then they may have to revise. In my tenure at CBO, we had revisions sort of $200 billion late in the year. So this is an enormous budget. You know, you're getting something that's over $3.5 trillion. It comes with a lot of uncertainty, and revisions are part of the course.
Now, this big figure that came out for the deficit, they're saying it's a little bit less, actually, than last year at the same time. But the report came out when Congress is in recess, and yet Congress managed to make a huge fuss over a relatively minor expenditure on a conference that happened 2 years ago in Las Vegas. I haven't heard a peep about the $780 billion deficit. What do you make of that?
I think it is both sad, but also a business as usual. It's easy to point to the GSA scandal and make a fuss about it as waste, but it doesn't really get at the core of our nation's financial problems. Even if CBO has it exactly right, the deficit is now over $1 trillion for the fourth straight year. There has been no substantial progress on the big ticket items in the federal budget, the Social Security's Medicare, Medicaid, and the new Affordable Care Act that's before the Supreme Court. That's where the spending is located. They have been essentially untouched. And instead, the focus has been on agency spending, the smaller parts of the budget that are in the annual appropriations. Congress really needs to switch its focus from annual appropriations to the big entitlement programs, or we will not solve this problem.
And looking at the CBO models, how dynamic are they? That is to say, tax receipts can be affected if you believe they can be affected. There's a lot of variables on tax policy, affects receipts, of course, and economic activity. How does CBO take that all into coming up with their projections?
They have at their disposal a large array of models. There's no single one that they simply plug numbers into and out come the projections. They look at the actual tax data for individuals and corporations at a very fine level of detail because, in some cases, a relatively small number of corporations will make big profits and a relatively small number of Americans will have capital gains, for example. They take into account an enormous amount of their behavior and their responses to the economic environment. And then they have the usual problems of just trying to figure out how fast we're going to come out of this recession, how many jobs we'll create, and as a result, how many people will be paying taxes. So I think they do a stellar job. It's impossible to forecast with great accuracy in some circumstances. And what CBO tries to do is to be just as likely to be too high as to be too low, which is to say, you know, on average, be right, even if you can't be right every time.
Former CBO Director Douglas Holtz-Eakin is American Action Forum president now, and we're speaking about the mid-year estimate that CBO has put out. Now, if I'm a federal agency financial official, how am I supposed to use this information? Should I just continue along the plan that I already had, or is this something I should take into account?
Well, I think it tells you that your current operating plan is probably on the mark because this is not a dramatic change in their estimate of the budget. And indeed, they're saying the full year deficit looks about the same. But I think it tells you that next year's budget is going to be considerably tighter because the budgetary pressures are real and they're not getting smaller, they're getting larger.
Now, CBO is like GAO, a congressional agency that is committed to nonpartisanship, and different parties lead and come and go. When you put out these reports, how does Congress tend to react? What's your experience there?
They don't like the messenger, often because they don't like the message. So My experience is that usually you'll get some questions from people who are genuinely concerned about the numbers. You'll get some criticism, either because of the timing of the report, why did you put this out, or the fact that they think you've got it all wrong. You know, that's just business as usual. The CBO is used to it. Anyone who heads the agency understands that it is their job to provide the Congress with the best possible analysis and information they can, even if it's not politically popular at a point in time.
Now, when they come back from recess, there's another week or so to go. Is it your expectation that this latest number will inform or in some way affect the future budget debates, because they've got a lot of work to do before they finish a budget?
Well, the CBO will continue to put out reports just like this. They'll put one out every month, and hopefully the Congress will, in fact, take a look at them and understand the task that's before them. But I think most observers of the Washington scene would expect very little substantively to get done in this election year, but really are counting on next year being a year in which the nation's finances take a sharp turn to the better.
Now, you said that a major revision usually comes out around August. What should we be looking for between now and then?
I think the key things would be signs of an economy that's better than CBO expected. If we were, for example, to see continued rapid auto sales, so we had a good month last month, that would be a substantial improvement in the economic outlook. If we were to see housing starts pick up, that would suggest a rebound in the housing sector. Those are the two places I would look for real evidence of a stronger economic recovery. If that happens, the budget picture can improve much more quickly in the near term.
And let me ask you this. Why, in general, is CBO a little bit more reticent about talking with the press and so forth than, say, the GAO?
It's a tradition of respecting the fact that they are an arm of Congress. Their primary client is the Congress. They have, by statute, a requirement that they be nonpartisan. And in talking with the press, it is often the perception of one side or the other that they didn't play fair. And so unless necessary, the CBO typically just tries not to get in those situations.
All right. So this next report, you say, is going to be more of the same. Are you expecting anything to change in the next couple of years?
We have to. It's simply a matter of arithmetic that the U.S. cannot continue in its current course. We have debt, federal debt, that is now larger than the size of our economy. Countries that get debt that high often run into problems where they grow too slowly, run into the chance of a Greek or a Portugal-style crisis. That's something that we have no interest in trying to play with. So the Congress is going to have to change course. It's going to take, as I said, the changes to the big programs and probably a tax reform at the same time. So there's an enormous amount on the agenda that has to happen over the next few years.
Well, CBO certainly has their hands full. Douglas Holtz-Egan is a former Congressional Budget Office director and now the president of the American Action Forum. Mr. Holtz-Egan, thank you so much.
Thank you.